Support for the Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette Mail, providing both sides of the issue on its dueling editorial pages. Check it out at wvgazettemail.com. Hi, and welcome to the Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director here. I'm joined by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Whitney Burdett of the Charleston Daily Mail editorial page. Hey.
Hi, Scott.
And we're going to talk today about right to work, of course, prevailing wage, and also a really interesting bill that would allow people with felony records who have nonviolent offenses to ask to get that taken off of their records. Let's start with the big news of the week. Right to work has passed. Prevailing wage has passed. It's going to go to the governor. He says he's going to veto it. It'll go back. And because, as Lori Lynn once said, we have one of the weakest gubernatorial vetoes in the country, a simple majority of each chamber can override his veto, and that's expected as well. What will this mean for West Virginia's economy and for politics in West Virginia?
Well, I think it was a real sad day for West Virginia when it passed, but it's not like you're going to see really sudden dramatic effects right away. There are a lot of people who are union members already working under existing contracts. What I think you'll see over time would be a weakening of union density, which would mean less ability of unions to bargain for their employees and represent their employees, which will also have a spillover effect for workers who are not in union. So I think it's another step on the race to the bottom. And ditto, I would say, that with the repeal of prevailing wage.
Whitney, is this economic development, or is this political payback by the Republican Party after 80 years of being out of power? Or both?
I think it's both. I do. Republicans have fought long and hard to gain the majority, and they finally did. And an election year is coming up. They might not get reelected. They might not have the majority next year. So they're trying to, get their issues out there, get them passed, get them into law, however they can. As for economic development, like Rick said, it's not an overnight thing. It's not going to happen overnight. We're not going to see the effects of it probably for a long time. But I think it is a piece of the puzzle.
Do you think that whether we're a right-to-work state has any effect on a business's decision to locate here or to expand here?
Right. 25 states right now are right-to-work. West Virginia would become the 26th. So I think a lot of the effort is just to get out ahead.
Doesn't it say we're open for business, Rick?
I think people have said that before. I mean, the thing that cracks me up, a few years ago, a professor at WVU issued a book called Unleashing Capitalism. And if you know anything about West Virginia's history, that happened pretty extremely over 100 years ago. What I think is going to happen with this, again, it's going to undermine the ability of workers to stand up for safety on the job. It's going to make it harder for them to negotiate for better wages and conditions because unions have to represent everyone who's eligible, even though under this system, those who benefit from it don't necessarily have to pay. If being a member of a union kills you so much, if you hate having better wages and benefits, you are free to get a job at a non-union place and have minimum wage.
I just find it hilarious, though, because this is Hobby Lobby we're talking about, and I'm objecting to the fact that they don't want to pay for my contraceptives, I think you would make the opposite argument, that I shouldn't have to find another job. So, I do think that both sides kind of pick and choose their arguments a little bit here.
If you object to the union's political activity, you don't have to pay the fee. You can become a back objector and only pay for the direct cost of representation.
Sure, but I'm supporting the entire union infrastructure that allows for them to help make these political contributions. It still has an effect, even if the political portion of it doesn't go to do that.
It has an effect on your insurance, your pension, your sick days, your vacation, your wages. Standard of living.
My bigger question here is this, we're talking about this again. We're spending lots of energy on it. It has dominated the legislature. Meanwhile, the coal economy is collapsing. We have a huge budget deficit, and all of these issues are getting short shrift.
This year the legislature is trying to get through two pieces of very controversial legislation in right to work and prevailing wage that they know that the governor is going to veto. So right out the gate, they're going to attack those two pieces, get those through. The governor's going to veto. They're going to override with plenty of time left to get to other things. That said, I think it would be prudent of the legislature to, look at other pieces of economic development, other things that are going on across West Virginia, and try to find ways to solve those problems too. These two issues have eaten up a lot of time. It's eaten up a lot of the conversation, a lot of the media attention. Other things are sort of, flying under the radar, on the back burner.
I think it'd be interesting if we actually adopted like an evidence-based approach to things that work in this state. I think we've wasted a lot of time on things that aren't productive. I mean, some things that might work, we know that early childhood education is one of the most effective ways of helping people with future earnings, with staying out of trouble, with their educational rates, investing in that. There's evidence behind that. We have the lowest educational attainment rate in the country, making post-secondary education more affordable, more easy to access so that people don't have to go in debt for the rest of their lives. If there were places for people who lost their driver's license for reasons unrelated to safety to get provisional licenses so they could work. But so far, that's been the road not taken.
And some of those things are pretty simple and not that expensive. Some of them would be very hard and very expensive. And I think that's part of what we're dealing with here. There's no money, literally, to do new things, especially if there's opposition to any tax increases. Then people focus on the things that don't take money. And, you know, becoming a right-to-work state doesn't cost the legislature any expenditures. You know, repealing the prevailing wage doesn't cost any, you know, expenditures. Hey, Rick, what's your Bible verse for this week?
The workman is worthy of his wage.
Well done. Where's that from?
Jesus said it.
Jesus.
And he's actually, I mean, he's quoted in the gospel saying it, and then the epistles also quote him as saying it.
What's the context?
When he sends people out, you know, to go and preach and heal and proclaim the kingdom of God, he tells them they don't need to take, you know, extra clothing or money with them. Just go and do what you do, and people should support you for it, for the worker is worthy of his wage.
Rick, why should people call right now and order a box of Hall's chocolates or make a pledge at any level and support West Virginia Public Broadcasting?
Well, it might help out in the whole Valentine's Day department with the Hall's thing, but I have a confession to make. It used to be I was not a big public radio listener.
Shocking.
I mean, you know, decades ago, I mean, I was a headbanger, right? Listening to rock and roll. And when someone would say, I heard on NPR, I felt like saying, you ain't from around here. But there has been a big sea change, I think. And my kids listen to it all the time. Lots of people, especially for me, it's the news that you can get on there. And, you know, some of the talk things. There's some really interesting programs that you're carrying now and things. So I have become... Late have I loved thee, as St. Augustine said, you know, but I finally got with the program.
Well, thank you, Rick. And, you know, listen to Rick Wilson, support The Front Porch and all the other great programs here in West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Order a box of Hall's chocolates, go to wvpublic.org and click that red donate button or call 1-800-RADIO-87.
And if you guys would start playing like Alice Cooper, that would be totally awesome.
What song do you want to go out on?
No More Mr. Nice Guy.
It's playing right now. Thanks a lot. So, Rick, what is this bill that would help people that have a felony record? What's it all about?
Okay, well, a lot of people around the state, for one reason or another, may get in trouble when they're younger, especially with their opium addiction, with their drug problems. They have a felony on their record, and it makes it really hard to gain employment later. So the bill that we're talking about is called the Second Chance for Employment Act. It's Senate Bill 411, House Bill 2604. Basically, what it would do would be to allow people who committed nonviolent, non-sexual felonies to petition the court to have their record expunged after they've been out of the system for 5 years. So it's not an easy thing. It's not automatic. And again, 5 years after probation or incarceration or their last contact with the system.
We have a woman on the phone who would be affected if this bill passes, Amber Miller. Amber Miller, St. Albans, who is a medical scheduler. Amber, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott.
Can you talk a little bit about how you ended up in support of this bill? What's your life history?
I was 20 years old and made a mistake. Went into my grandmother's house and took $30. I was eventually sentenced to the Anthony Correctional Center. I did approximately a year and a half behind bars, was released onto probation, did 2 years of probation, and have been a convicted felon ever since.
What does that mean to be a convicted felon? How does that affect your life?
Well, it really didn't set in until I got out of jail and completed my probation and tried to get into the workforce. You apply time and time again, and you never hear anything back, or if you do hear back, you hear that you can't be hired because of your felon on your record. It's been 12 years since I committed the crime. I've recently become employed full-time with benefits, but there's not many people out there that are as fortunate as I am, and that is why I press and will never give up on this bill.
This is Whitney with the Daily Mail. Thanks for being on here.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you, Whitney.
Yeah, so $30, you know, it sounds like you've been in the system and have, you know, really paid your debt to society, I guess. For $30, you know, it seems like it really ruined your life almost.
No, I don't want to, you know, sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. I was a problem child. I was involved with the wrong crowd. I did drugs. This was something that at the end of the day, when I look at it, it needed to happen, and it happened. But, now I look at it 12 years later, and I say, okay, I didn't think at that time, at my age, at 20, that it would be such a big problem, that it would affect me 12 years later. But it has. I've just been really fortunate to have a family that supports me and has been able, you know, my mother has worked, you know, for 40 years with a company, and that is why I have the job I have. You know, if my mom hadn't worked at this company for so long, I probably wouldn't have the job that I have today.
Amber has just got, are you concerned at all that if people are allowed to basically get their felony conviction expunged and removed from the record, in a sense, that might make people more likely to commit crime, that they might not have the deterrence effect of knowing that felony is on the record forever?
Well, my answer to that would be that this bill is only for one time, the first felony. You know, you can't have two felonies, three felonies, and try to get those removed off of your record. So if a person makes a mistake, which I like to call it, and does end up with a felony, and they do their time behind bars, and not only that, but they get out and they do their probation or their parole, and then 5 years later have the opportunity to ask a judge to have this removed off of their record, I do believe that if they have done their time and their probation, and not only that, but spent 5 years after, and they have not committed another crime, then yes, I do believe that they should be given an opportunity.
Yeah, maybe a little perspective here. For the last few decades, we sort of went on this incarceration binge, building more prisons and locking people up longer and for things that in other places probably wouldn't draw prison time. And now people across the political spectrum are seeing that this might not be the best way to treat public resources, taxpayer money, or people. And there are groups like Right on Crime and others that have recommended sort of a step-down approach to this and actually making it easier for people to re-enter consistent with public safety. And I think even in places like Georgia, last year they passed a Ban the Box bill, which, you know, sort of does some of the same things here.
So, you know, this is, as you said, getting support from the left and the right nationally. So far, though, this bill hasn't been put up on a committee agenda, meaning that it's not taken the second step that it needs to take to become law. Do you think that there's momentum for doing this either this year or next year, Rick?
Yeah, my sense is there are not that many people who would really be against it if it actually got to the floor. Yeah, it's been introduced in the Senate with bipartisan support, and it's probably more hopeful to get it moving there than it is in the House. So it's the kind of thing that makes sense. We hear so much these days about West Virginia's low workforce participation rate, and there are thousands of people in this situation who really have a hard time going back to work for this reason. And this seems like a common sense way to continue in the direction we've already started to take over the last few years of helping people reenter.
That's Amber Miller, and she is somebody who made a mistake, as she said, a few years ago, and is now trying to see if she can get a bill passed to allow people to petition, nonviolent offenders, to petition to get a felony removed from their record.
Scott, thank you so much for your time, and I just want to ask everybody to support this bill and contact their legislatures and the Speaker of the House, Tim Armstead, and ask him to move this into the committee so they can vote on it and give people the opportunity to have a mistake taken off of their record and another shot at the workforce here in West Virginia.
Okay, Amber, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate
it. Thank you, Scott. Have a good day, Rick.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If I could mention one more thing, I get around the state and talk to a lot of people, and one conversation I had really stuck with me was in Wheeling. It was at sort of a day shelter that had, food pantry, served meals, and, help people deal with a lot of things. We were talking to people who work there, and they said this would help so many people in their community be able to go back to work because it's a huge obstacle. And you go around the state, and you're going to hear that from all kinds of people who are in touch with this population. It's more than you think. And we're not talking axe murderers here or anything else. I think this is a common sense way to help people get their lives back together.
And I feel like there's been a lot more attention paid to the number of people who aren't in the workforce and the number of people who are dealing with substance abuse issues. And this bill seems like a good way to sort of combat both of those issues in one. So, maybe it'll get the support it needs this time.
That's Whitney Burdett. She is an editorial page writer with the Charleston Daily Mail, which is part of the Charleston Gazette Mail. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Rick Wilson, member of the American Friends Service Committee. Thank you for joining us, Rick. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.